Who's excited about tomorrow? Anybody excited about tomorrow? Are you excited? Are you going to be able to sleep tonight? Yeah, you think so? Maybe? I wish I could. I never get sleep on Christmas Eve anymore. Yeah, you're excited. Probably happy about what might be under the tree tomorrow morning. Yeah? There's a word that you might see a lot at Christmas time. A word. And I looked through my house to find the word, and I found it on here. What does that say? Joy. It says joy. You have stuff like this in your house? Do you have this word in your house? Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. That's very detailed. We can go into that later. Yeah, maybe you guys have this word around your house, joy. Joy. My oldest daughter loves this season because her middle name is Joy. And it shows up everywhere. When she was really young, she's like, look, it's my name, it's my name, it's my name. When I was going through to find one of our Christmas things that had it, she's like, you could just pull me out of the bag. And I was like, I don't have time to set that magic trick up. But yeah, joy. Joy is a big word that we see this time of year. What does joy mean? Do you know? Like happiness. Being excited. Uh-huh. Sometimes I wonder why I try. Thesaurus. Words are hard. Thesaurus says it can mean delight, happiness, pleasure, enjoyment, bliss. That's one you throw around a lot, don't you? Thrill, elation. You ever use that word? Elation? No, I didn't think so. Yeah, these are some things. We hear the word joy often at Christmas, and it really is a word that does mean a lot of happiness. There are some people, though, that Christmas is hard for. The holidays can be hard for. Sometimes it brings up some sad memories. It can bring up things that, you know, some of us have lost loved ones. And the holidays can remind us of those things. That can take away our happiness for some things, but it doesn't take away our joy. It doesn't take away our joy, because our joy is found in Jesus. Our joy is found in Jesus, right? I mean, that's kind of the churchy thing to say. But when Jesus came to earth, and what he did on earth was not the kind of presents and candy cane kind of joy that we're going to celebrate tomorrow, but we will celebrate the joy that Christ brings, a joy that cannot be taken away, a joy that fills us. That's the kind of joy that Jesus came to bring for us, a joy that fills us with those things. Joy is spelled J-O-Y, and I want us to think of it as Jesus, because Jesus brings our joy. Others, because we share God's joy with others, and for you, because you are special and loved through Christ into a relationship with God. Jesus, others, you. And I'm going to turn it over to not Fred this morning. Fred isn't preaching this morning. I'm going to turn it over to Randy as he's coming up this morning.
Merry Christmas, my friends. I'm going to read you from Luke chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 26 through 38. This is probably one of the more recognizable accounts of the birth of Jesus that people are aware of. Luke chapter 1, 26 through 38. In the sixth month, now that means the sixth month of Mary's cousin Elizabeth. She was the mother of John the Baptist. So when she was 6 months pregnant, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at these words and wondered what kind of greeting it might be. But the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "And how will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. If you're like me, you really love Christmas. I do. I love Christmas. I love the music and the song that Don did. Thanks, Don, for doing that for me. It's my favorite Christmas song now, and Mary, Did You Know? And just, you know, almost everything about this time of year, I like. I like the movies that come out. I watch those annually and that sort of thing. And as I was contemplating what I was going to bring to you here today, I was reminded, the music went through my mind, to the song that Don sang, "Mary, Did You Know?" And I began to contemplate on that, you know, and of course, you know, in our minds, we see you, Mary, sitting there by the cradle and there at the manger and looking at her son Jesus. And how could she have possibly known, what he would eventually grow to be? I mean, the angel told her that he would, you know, be, you know, the Son of God. But, you know, that's really quite something. And so as I began to think about this, I began to ask myself, what if, you know, God had said something similar to me? Not that you're going to have a baby. He'd never, I can't say never, but I sure hope he would never do that. But anyway, I began to think, what if she did know what was going to happen? Now, I tell you, if the angel Gabriel appeared to me and said to me, "Hail you who are most favored, the Lord is with you," I would immediately be on my way to buy a lottery ticket. Wouldn't you? Oh, come on. Come on. You know, the Lord is with you. You're highly favored. Man, you got it made. No chance of losing. And yet, Mary kind of had a pretty good idea that that's not what's going to happen in her life. And so as I began to ponder on some of this stuff, it came across my mind, you know, the words of this message is, "Had they known." And we're going to talk about a few of the people and groups that were involved in the coming together of the birth of Jesus there in Bethlehem. But, you know, I think, you know, Mary must have had some clue that this wasn't entirely good news. Now, you might think, well, how could she say that? How could she think it wasn't good news? We're talking about a girl who was probably 15, 16 years old. She goes back home and she has to tell her parents that she's going to have a baby and that she's never had sexual relations with anybody, that she's still a virgin, that the baby is God's. Now, let me ask you this. If we had a young lady come into our church on Sunday morning and sit and worship with us and pray with us and at the invitation come forward and say to the people, "I just wanted you all to know that I'm going to have a baby, but I'm still a virgin. I've never known a man. It's something that God has done inside me." How many of you are going to believe that? Do you think that they believed her when she told them the story? Now, in our culture, in our society, having a child out of wedlock is not a horrible, terrible thing. But it was in her culture. In fact, we get some hint of that when it talks about Joseph, and Joseph was a great guy, and he really was. The scripture speaks very highly about him. And so what he could have done by law, what he could have done was he could have had her stoned. But he's not like that. So he's just going to kind of send her back home to mom and dad and say, listen, she's your problem now. Good luck. Every time she went outside in public, she would hear the whispers of the women talking about the lack of her morals and her goodness. She would receive the glares and the smiles of men who think that she could give herself to them. She would have to listen to the rumors of her infidelity all her life. Had she known that she would have to go through that, you think she still would have said to God, be it as you have said, I'll do whatever you want? Okay, what if it goes beyond that? What if she saw herself in 33 years sitting on the side of a hill, watching that baby boy there on the cross nailed, beaten and bloody, naked and shamed, taking on the sins of the world? Do you think she still would have said, I'm in? I think so. So when we think of God, blessing us, when we think of God helping us, then finding favor with us, maybe we ought to back up and take a look and understand that maybe it's not going to be bells and whistles and roses and laughter and great times. Maybe there's going to be some things involved in that aren't quite as admirable. And let's go talk about another one. Zacharias. Zacharias was Elizabeth's husband. Now remember, Elizabeth was Mary's relative. Okay, she was the mother of John the Baptist. Okay, so John, you may not have known that. John the Baptist and Jesus were cousins or related. Got together at Christmas every year, had a good time, you got to know each other. But he knew who he was. John knew who Jesus was, and Jesus knew who John was. And so Mary goes and visits with Elizabeth. But Zechariah, I just kind of wonder now about him. He was a righteous man. He was a good man. And God had very wonderful things to say about him. And an angel appears to him as well and says, I just want you to know that God has heard your prayers and that God is answering your prayers. You're going to have a son. And he goes, I'm too old to have a son. And the angel says, okay, you're going to have a son, but you're not going to be able to say anything until then. We don't want people to hear all these doubts that you seem to have about, what's going on here. So, the angel or God made it so that he couldn't speak. But, of course, Zechariah, being a righteous man, continued, in his journey, following, the will and the word of God. And yet, I wonder, had he known that this boy that his wife was going to conceive would grow up to be a crazy man? Had he known that this guy that, he was promised to him, the son, would live on locusts and honey and live out in the wilderness? And honestly, people thought he was crazy. Had he known that his son would have his head cut off at the whims of a spoiled little prostitute, you think he still would have said, okay, let's do it? I think he would. The wise men, we don't know how many there were. We say three because there were three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but there may have been many more than that. And about 2 years before the birth of Jesus, they noticed a star. And they got together to follow that star to find out because, obviously there was something that was extraordinary about it. And they believed that it signaled the coming of a king. And so they spent almost 2 years on the road so they could go and visit this king. Had they known that this journey would bring about the death of hundreds, even thousands of young boys under 2 years of age because King Herod was afraid of a competitor as a king? Would you have gone had you known that thousands would die because of your journey? There are those who gave their all, so that the Son of God could be born. And so if Mary had seen these things, if Mary could have looked into the future, would she have said the words that we see her saying here in Luke chapter 1? Be it as you have said. And what she's saying is, I'll do whatever you need me to do. Let me talk about us a minute. About me and you. Now, there are a lot of ways that God called these people to bring about the birth of his son. There were angels that appeared. There were dreams that were followed. There was a star that was put up in the sky. Different ways that God touched the lives of people to bring them to Bethlehem. And I wonder, what touched you and me? What touched us? That first time that we came to know to Jesus and said, Jesus, I want to be yours. I want to follow you all the days of my life. And I don't know, maybe you don't even know. Maybe that question's going through your mind now. Say, wow, why did I? Was it because you went through a class and at the end of the class, everybody got baptized? That does happen. They do that. Could it be because, your parents, kind of put, the thumb on you and said, listen, this is something you really need to do? Did you go to church camp and have a real emotional time with God during the week? And there's nothing wrong with that. But did you make your decision then? What brought you and what brought me? What brought us there to Bethlehem? Had you known that that did not guarantee you get out of jail free card? Had you known that that would not spare you from danger, from poor health, from financial ruin, from death, from failure, from the fact that those people that sat near you every Sunday, all of a sudden you realize, they're not perfect. So we become disenchanted, we become disillusioned. Did that happen? What was it that, you looked, if you could have seen in the future, had you known that those things would happen? Had you known that one day you would end up in divorce? Had you known that one day your children would be, afflicted with drugs and alcohol? Had you known that your spouse would be cheating on you and it would absolutely break your heart? Had you known that God would not stop these things from happening because he doesn't stop them? Would you still have made the decision? Would you still have known that God, even though he does not protect us from the world in which we live, a world that we made this world. It was our sinfulness. It was our decision to disobey God that made the world. So when we go out into the world, we expect God to all of a sudden not allow any of those things to touch us. But that's not why the baby came. He came to assure us of this. No matter what happens, God's still going to be there. No matter how bad it gets, God's going to be there. That's what Emmanuel means. God with us. And I don't mean us as a humanity. I mean us as individuals. We have stories. Stories of life that was sometimes hard and painful. We have stories of friendships that were betrayals, of decisions that brought tragedy and horror to our lives. and we forgot that God was there. And so we think that maybe he deserted us and he's gone, he's not taking care of us anymore. And so when we take a look at that, had you known that these things would happen, our answer probably would have been no. I probably wouldn't have made that decision. Isn't that sad? I want to talk about one more. I'm going to try to talk about one more anyway. If God had known what would happen to that little baby in 33 years, if God had known that from the moment he arrived here, he would become an enemy to much of mankind. Had God known that the people that he sent his son to demonstrate his love for just rejected it altogether? Had he known that there would be those who believed his son to be a devil? Had he known that his son would be taken to the governor of Rome's courtyard and there have a crown of thorns driven into his flesh? If God had known that they would take a whip and they would give his son 40 lashes, turn his back into hamburger. Had he known that they would take his son to Calvary and there they would drive nails into his hands and feet? I think it's important that you realize that he did know. He knew. He knew that one day he would see this happen to his son and just couldn't take it any longer. The earth would go dark. The darkness was impenetrable. That he would turn his back on his son because his son became the one thing that he came to die for, sin. The Bible says he who had no sin became sin for us. And God had to turn his back on his son, bringing from the lips of his beloved son, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" He knew all that. He knew it from the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve first sinned against him and disobeyed him out of their own volition. God said in that moment a vision and a plan to rescue humanity. And this was that plan. I want to show you the words from Isaiah chapter 53, because I want you to know that not only did God know what he promised it to us, Isaiah chapter 53, and I'm going to just start with verse 7. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor any deceit was in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and to cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see the offering and prolong his days. So he knew. God knew the horror that he'd have to face. I don't think any of us could understand, comprehend that. A lot of dear people, even here in this room, people that I love, have known and loved a long time. And many of them, maybe even most of them, I'd be willing to lay down my life. But let me tell you something, make no mistake, I would not give any of my sons for any of you or anybody else. I might, through a grand gesture, offer myself, but never, never, never would I allow one of my children to be given as an offering of sacrifice. Had we known, maybe or maybe not, we would have continued the journey. Had we known, perhaps we would decide that we prefer the way of pleasure. And the world promises pleasure. That we preferred to live our own life, our own way, making our own decisions and making whatever mistakes, that we have to pay for. Had we known that we would need a Savior, would we still have come? Would we still have come? This morning, I'd like to offer an opportunity for those who maybe have never really given any thought to the baby in Bethlehem and what he did, what he became for us. I honestly think, I know this is kind of weird, but I'm telling you, I honestly think it, that from the moment that baby came into this world, he knew what was going to happen. And yet, he loved and he lived and he healed and he brought from the dead. Because he loves us so. So this morning, if you need to come and begin your journey following the Lord, then we're going to offer you that opportunity. As I was working on the message here, a thought kind of occurred to me. When we offer the invitation, we usually tell people that if they would like to accept Jesus as their Savior to come forward. But, all of a sudden I kind of thought about that word accept. Like we're getting an award, Here's a certificate in a frame. So I'm not inviting you to accept Jesus. I'm inviting you to surrender to him. And from now on, for the rest of my life, I will never ask anybody if they want to accept him. I'll ask them if they want to belong to him, if they want to surrender to him, because that's the only way we're going to make it. I'm going to turn it over to Fred and let him offer the invitation.
Well, I appreciate that so very much. Yeah, go ahead and pray, man. Yeah, I really appreciate that.